Marks, Allen, 1862. I was shown the case of Allen Marks. I saw that God's frown was upon him. He has not understood himself. He has a very bad disposition, and many have been deceived in him, thought he was better than he was. I saw that God knows. He understands Allen Marks' every act, every word. Nothing is hid from him. Every secret of the heart is open before his searching gaze. I was shown, Allen, that had the church in Burlington viewed you as you are, they never would have placed you in the position they did in the church. You had no right there. You never could fill the position. You are not a godly man. You are not a patient and kind man. You are not a prompt, energetic man. You are a man who leaves things at loose ends, a man who has things all in disorder. And of what benefit can such a man be to the church? If he should succeed in anything, it would be in bringing them all down on a level with himself. God, I saw, will deliver his people from such influences. God wants his people to come up. I saw, Allen, that you are very exacting. You tyrannize in your family. Your wife fears you. You have a bitter, oppressive spirit, which is eating her heart like a canker. She trusted you, confided in you, and gave you her confidence, her heart. You have abused that confidence. You have a revengeful disposition. Fault-finding and censure you can freely deal in, and then you throw around you a self-righteous garb, put on a very pious air which deceives many, but which heaven abhors. I saw that your spirit agrees no more with the Spirit of God than heaven agrees with hell. Your wife has loved you much better than you deserved. You were unworthy of her. She has not exposed your faults, but has put the best side out. But the time has come when there must be a thorough and lasting change in you. You must listen to the voice of the church, be instructed by them, and not set up your judgment. You have not sought counsel as you should, but followed your own blind judgment. I was shown that your reformation must begin at home. Your wife lacks in some things. She does not observe habits of cleanliness and order as she ought, but she means to be right, and she needs help in her efforts. You, Allen, are making the married life of your wife miserable. It would have been far better if she had never married you, for you are very willful and set, whether you are right or wrong. At times you manifest fondness and affection for your wife, which is carried to extremes. And then again you are very harsh and tyrannical, which destroys all her pleasure of life. If you would take an even course, not manifest a sickening fondness, nor an abusive severity, your life would be more pleasing to God, and your wife would be happy. You are now killing her by inches. Oh, if you have any regard for your eternal interest, any regard for your wife's happiness, reform. Don't exalt yourself and crush your wife, lest God's hand be laid heavily upon you. She has sacred privileges, as well as you. The marriage covenant lays sacred vows upon both husband and wife. God never ordained that the wife should be the slave of the husband. Your wife has an intellect superior to yours, but you are crushing out her ambition and cheerfulness and making her prematurely old. You lack humility and must take your proper place and listen to the judgment of the church, or you will be separated from this people. The time has come for you to work in earnest, to think less of self and more of your wife. Think less of self and more of your brethren. Perfect overcomers will enter in through the gates into the city and have right unto the tree of life. I would exhort your wife to trust in God. I have seen, Mary, that you should not sink down under the censure of your husband. You have liberties and privileges. God will strengthen you in doing right, whether your husband is pleased or not. May God help Allen to take hold of this work of reform as he never has worked before until he makes clean work and can perform the part he vowed to perform at the marriage altar.